Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sick Beats with Jared and Sophia. I'm Jared, and I'm with the one, the only,
Ben Platt.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Platt, everybody.
Woo! Just kidding. My name's Sophia.
Yeah. How are you doing, Sophia?
I don't know how to answer that question, Jared.
I agree. Context, we have been trying to record this podcast for a good 2 hours. But we're finally here. We're so excited. We're talking about Montero today.
Yes. We're talking about Montero back in the original studio.
The original stew. With no video. I have been dying to talk about this album because I have been holding off on talking about it all week to literally anybody.
Yeah.
Like, not a soul really knows any details about how I feel about this album.
We, our little friend group had a listening party when the album came out. And it was really fun, but that was like the last time that we all collectively talked about the album as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, we listened to it in the car once, but we were just screaming it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, valid.
Yeah.
But before we like get really deep into Montero, do you have any exciting things in the future? Like album releases that you're looking forward to? Any news from artists you like? On the spot, I'm sorry.
I don't know. I feel like I just... Oh, that was a big mouth smack. Sorry to Joe. I feel like I've recently heard something about somebody coming out with new music or working on new things. But... Matt Maltese is coming out with an album. I don't remember when. But I'm excited for that one. The singles that he's put out so far are very Beatles-esque. So... I'm excited for that.
That sounds cool. I think I saw you like something by Tessa Violet saying she was gonna like work on a demo or something.
She always says that.
And she never does.
Well, sometimes she does.
I don't know. That sounded really dramatic. Tessa Violet, I'm sorry. If you were listening to this podcast, first of all, how? Second of all, sorry.
With her ears?
Well, yeah. I meant like how more like we're just a little podcast.
I'm feeling too sassy today.
I'm super excited. This is really niche, but a K-pop group that I really like, AB6, is coming out with an album on Monday. It's a full album. There's like 10 songs, and I'm super excited about it. That's all I can really talk about on that. But Clarence Clarity, one of the executive producers on Sawayama by Rina Sawayama, is dropping something either tonight or soon, I think. I saw Rina's tweet about it.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Nothing like too exciting music-wise. Life is kind of good at the moment, which is nice. That's about...
School is busy. I don't know.
Yeah.
We had drama getting into the studio today, and I cannot focus on anything good happening in my life at the moment. So this week, we are going to be talking about Montero by Lil Nas X. And it's the second album that we've reviewed. If you missed last week, we talked about Sawayama by Rina Sawayama and how it's amazing and she's amazing. And spoiler alert, it's kind of going to be the same thing this week.
We really liked Sawayama. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, I really think you should. And you should listen to the album accompanied with it. It was a good time. Thank you for everybody who is listening. I think we're at like 21 like consistent viewers. Like each of our podcasts have at least 20 listens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just on podcasting apps. YouTube has a lot of views. I think there's like 40 views on the first episode.
Oh, that's fun.
20 more on the second. So thank you for listening and for participating in this little interactive journey with us.
I appreciate if you are dedicated enough to go onto YouTube, especially because this is now the third week where we will not have a video component, and we don't know if that'll continue or not.
Yeah.
just bear with us. It'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. If anything, you're going to watch that beautiful little 5-minute animation that's looped that I made.
Yeah.
Regardless, thank you for listening wherever you're deciding to listen to and for participating with us on social media. It's been fun to just kind of have this little community.
Yeah, and if you're not yet following us, we are everywhere at Sick Beats with JS, not SJ. Okay, are you ready to start getting into this album?
I am really ready.
We are going to be trying out a more organized format this week. So bear with us. We're still kind of trying to find our footing when it comes to analyzing albums in the most efficient way possible.
Montero It's an album.
Yeah.
Hear me out. We're going to go on a journey together here. It is a 15-track album. It's about 42 minutes long. Came out last Friday, which is September 17th, 2021. There's like 5 features on this album. And this is Lil Nas X's debut album. Which I really want to emphasize. Like, this man has been around for a couple years now, mm-hmm. and this is his debut album.
Mm-hmm. Very long awaited.
Very highly anticipated. I remember, just a little tangent, I remember like watching the Grammys when it was the year of like Lil Nas X and Billie Eilish and Lizzo, and I was like, yeah, they're cool. I need an album from everybody again before I can make a solid opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And Lil Nas X at that moment had only given us like a 6-song EP. And I was like, I like his music. I need an album before mm-hmm. I can like decide if I'm like going to be there in the long haul. And he delivered.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
And he goes into this in the album, but my first opinion of Lil Nas X was that he was like kind of a joke, because I thought that Old Town Road was like a joke song. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he suffers like a very similar effect that I feel like Doja Cat did.
Yeah.
Where it's like their both of their rises to fame came from like a meme-y type song.
Yeah.
With Doja being like moo.
Yeah.
And it took a couple of songs to hear from Doja for me before I was like, oh no, she's like a serious artist. We need to leave her alone. Like, she has a craft.
Yeah.
And I feel like Lil Nas X definitely proved in this album that he does have craft. Like, he's actually talented. He's here to stay.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It took all the way until Call Me By Your Name came out, really, for me to be like, oh, like, this is really good.
She's really good.
She's really good.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think when Call Me By Your Name came out, that was like the transition point where I was like, no, he's here to stay. Because like Holiday was cute or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like more of the same. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because he's not capable of bringing a bad song, as we're going to get into.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it wasn't until Call Me By Your Name when I was like, no, he's got the budget. He's got the talent. He's got the pen game. Like, mm-hmm. he's got everything. Like, he's an artist. We need to treat him as such. So that's been really exciting to like see him turn into like this artist.
Yeah.
Over the past couple of years.
And I think, I don't know if I am alone in this, but I like became a fan of him through the whole SHU and Satan stripper pole controversy. I think that he's just a really cool person, and I think that everybody was clowning on him so hard for like no reason. And he also goes into that in the album.
In his album.
I don't know if we wanted to touch on the controversy or not.
Oh,
and I don't know if our listeners know about it, but
I mean, I feel like it's impossible to talk about this album without the pre-rollout of this album.
Yeah.
I mean, everything he did to the release date was calculated. His marketing strategy is insane. He's
yeah.
like the first artist who really was like, who's came out of like being on the internet and being a part of like stan culture and like knows how a meme works.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel forced from him.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the things that he's done was obviously very like, he brought Scandal back to music, I want to say. I mean, like, going down a stripper pole, giving Satan a lap dance, and then mm-hmm. killing Satan. And then, like, just, like, everything he does has some sort of, like, tabloid written about it, like, immediately.
Yeah.
He did, like, a parody video of, like, a talk show where he was, like, playing all these characters. He faked being pregnant, and, like, the whole track list had, like, a baby registry where every track mm-hmm. has a song. Every track on the album has a charity associated with it. So every time you're streaming the album, money is going to charity too.
Yeah.
Like, he really went, like, he went really hard on this rollout. And we'll see Monday, the day this podcast comes out, if it, like, paid off chart-wise.
Yeah.
But regardless, this is a very strong leap into his career.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that, you know, he took... you know, all of the controversy with the Call Me By Your Name music video and the blood in the shoes or whatever that whole situation was, he took it and he embraced it and he ran with it because he didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least in my opinion, he didn't do anything wrong. He's just being his own person.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate that he took it and was completely aware that all eyes were on him, and he used that to his advantage, which is why I think that's why he started getting a little bit more extra with the rollout and the marketing, because he knew that the more extra he was, the more eyes would be on him and the more people would learn that he was coming out with Montero.
Yeah.
You said, everything was just like really nicely calculated.
Yeah. If anything, like before we get into like actually talking about the actual album itself, if anything, the rollout of this album is a feat enough.
Yes. We could fill an entire podcast episode with just the rollout of Montero.
The amount of, you could just analyze the living crap out of it.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, I wrote a 10-page academic essay about Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to say about just like the rollout of this album and the songs on it and whatnot. So we're going to get into the album now. It starts with Montero, Call Me By Your Name. We've kind of talked about it a lot. Mm-hmm. This was like the beginning, the birth of this era.
Yes.
We see him like no longer being that Old Town Road guy. We see mm-hmm. him like kind of being fully himself on this track.
Yeah, absolutely. I have in my notes literally the track that started it all.
Yeah. I like how we're saying that this track started it all over Old Town Road, because like without discrediting that song, but like this, like because that song did numbers, obviously it's the most successful song ever, period. But it
didn't feel authentically him.
There were a lot of layers mm-hmm. and like barriers put up in his persona. I wrote down like, when writing notes for this podcast, that this song itself is the symbolic death of Old Town Road.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wendy Williams, death to them all. and it's just like, we're hearing Lil Nas X sing this new song, this like very, very song of the summer type song. Mm-hmm. It, like this song has a warm feeling to it. And it's like, we're seeing him just like kind of reflect on his like fame and everything that mm-hmm. Old Town Road kind of gave him in this song and throughout the album as a whole. And we're like, wow, he hasn't missed yet. Like he's continuing to rise. He's continuing to grow. I mean, like all of his songs have plaques and it's insane. Mm-hmm. And throughout the whole album, we kind of touch on themes of that and his sexuality mm-hmm. and like rising to fame very quickly, his like issues with love. And then at the end of the album, we end on a song called Am I Dreaming, which is featuring Miley Cyrus. And that song, I looked about it up on Genius, and he talked about how that song is like setting wise, like they're on a ship that's sinking, and the end of the song is them dying.
So that's what that end of the song is. Okay. Okay, so here's the thing, you guys. Am I Dreaming makes me want to cry and sob every time I listen to it. And at the end, I didn't realize it until the first time I like blasted the song in the union at school, and I was like crying in the club, and like I blasted it, and then at the end I heard the little like sploosh of the water, and I was like, oh, remember me, or like don't forget me, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, well I like when I listened to it for the first time, I mean like he touches on themes of like not wanting to be alive a lot on the album too, and I was like, did he just like is this death?
Yeah.
And then I read into it and it was like, no, they're like literally like on a ship that's sinking is like the whole idea.
Oh, see, because I was wondering why it was water instead of something else.
It's like, never forget me, like I'm your favorite song. Yes. And like all these thoughts I'm thinking while I'm sinking down. Like these are like his final thoughts, both of their final thoughts while mm-hmm. they're like passing away on this ship.
Yeah, I have never forget me, like I'm your favorite song written down, and then I just have literally just makes me want to cry. And then I also have written down, it's part of Miley's verse, glitter comes off battered and blue, but I gotta go on, and then as I'm singing I rewrite my story. It's just the lyrics and the story that this specific song tells like makes me want to curl up in a ball. And I also have written down, like, I know that I made a joke about like crying in the club and like whatever, but when this song comes on I have to turn it up to like almost full volume.
Yeah.
There is an effect that this particular song has on me where I have to stop everything that I'm doing, everything that I'm thinking about. Like if I'm having a conversation, I have to either pause the song or just like blast it. Like I can't, this song just like takes me somewhere else.
This is a song I play in the car every time I drive home late at night, and I just freaking scream it.
Yeah.
Freaking.
Frickin'.
I just scream it at the top of my lungs. I hit replay.
That's what it's I also, perfect. I find myself with this song, and I think there's a couple more where sometimes the time that I'm listening to it or whatever I have going on in my head while I'm listening to it, when it ends, I'm like, nope. And then I just hit replay because like I can't move on because you know how I am. I listen to albums on repeat.
Yeah.
I sometimes listen to Am I Dreaming? It ends and I'm not mentally prepared to listen to Call Me By Your Name again.
I know. I agree.
And I just need one more run through of Am I Dreaming to just like cradle me back to sleep. And then I'm like, okay, Montero.
Yeah. Okay. I'm ready to go back down the stripper pole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love, oh, sorry. Oh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Me, Sophia talking about a music video.
Oh.
I really like, now that you mentioned that they're in a sinking ship in Am I Dreaming, I like the idea that in Montero, he's a fallen angel. And then by the end of the album, he's on a sinking ship. Just like the...
Just a progressive sink.
Yeah, I'm doing a downward motion with my hand right now in the air, in case you wanted to know.
So that's kind of like front to back, like what yes. the album kind of covers, the main themes. Instead of going track by track, just to kind of save everybody's time, we want to talk on the tracks that we really loved, the tracks that we might not have loved the most, and then tracks that might not have been our favorite, but we really want to talk about. I will deem called notable tracks, but...
Or like honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions, yeah. So we're going to talk about some of our favorites first. Sophia, I'm very interested to hear what would be one of your first favorites.
Well, my absolute favorite is Am I Dreaming? Mm-hmm. As I'm sure you've been able to tell. But another one that I just really have a love for is That's What I Want. And again, Sophia talking about a music video. The visual of him in his wedding dress with his like weird... mullet, long hair, wig on.
The Labradoodle hair.
And his guitar, and he's screaming and has mascara running down his face, and he's just screaming and screaming and screaming. I actually saw on Twitter some fan art of that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, that's what I picture. I picture him just, like, screaming at me in a wedding dress. I also really like the message behind the music video that you don't really get through the song. But the story in the music video is that Lil Nas is like dating a closeted straight man. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that nobody ever touches on, or like barely ever, is that like gay men go through that like a lot, dealing with closeted men yeah. and experimentation, and they essentially just get like used.
Yeah. The music video was like perfect for this song.
Yes.
This song is also one of my favorite tracks on this song.
As it on this should album. Be.
I wrote down this song kind of gives me like Disney Channel original movie vibes, but like in the best way possible.
Hello?
Like hear me out. It sounds cheesy. It sounds like an insult, but like it takes me back to like that 2000s mindset, and it feels like it would be like. Like, with the visuals of the music video, it kind of gives me, like, that, like, running around, like, falling in love and, like, having your, like, rom-com moment, but, like, yeah. on Disney Channel. But at the same time, this is not, like, cheesy Disney Channel. It's not, mm-hmm. like, made-for-kids Disney Channel. It's just, like, that kind of, like, feeling it gives me.
Interesting.
I just like that it's just so casually a song about a guy who wants to be with another guy.
Yeah.
It's just, I find it hard, like, trying to write songs about men. Just because I feel like there's, as, like, a gay person, you have to, like, really, like, be crazy about it and, like, actually, like, put a lot of effort and be like, this is about a man. And it just feels so effortless from him. It's just, it's so normal when it's coming from him. And mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like it's, like, trying to tippy-toe around the fact that he's gay. It doesn't feel, like, super coded.
Yeah.
It's just unapologetically him, and I love that.
I love that about just him in general.
Yeah. Everything he does is very unapologetic, and he's mm-hmm. like, this is me, take it or leave it. Like, yeah. I don't care if I'll lose anything, everything tomorrow. Like, I'm going to be authentic.
But it's just like Sam Smith and their Black and White album with, like, How Do You Sleep on it? Or no, that was a single.
That was the new album.
Mm-hmm.
How Do You Sleep is on the new album.
How Do You Sleep is the new album?
Yeah.
They, like, blend together for me. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Sam Smith really, honestly, back when... Paparazzi caught them and their partner like just walking around like doing normal things.
Yeah.
I feel like after that Sam Smith was like, I'm taking charge of my identity. And I feel like that's the same thing that Nas did.
Yeah.
Where he was like, I'm taking charge of my identity. I'm not about to let anybody tell me who I'm going to be or how I should talk about myself.
I do want to say my favorite part on this song specifically is the second verse. He starts singing again in just like the normal way, but then it takes a turn and he goes into like this this little rap, but it's not like
oh, I know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's not like rap flow. It's very like talkative,
mm-hmm.
and it's just so good. It's like the highlight of the track for me. He goes like, tell me that's life when I'm stressing at night, and like tell me everything will be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the way he delivers it is just so playful and fun.
Yeah.
And it's like he's talking about these dark things, but it's like in such a calm and collective way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't like distract from this upbeat, cheery track.
Mm-hmm.
This song throughout the rollout was one of the songs that had a snippet that Lil Nas played to death on TikTok, yet it didn't lose the hype. Like, I remember, I think, like, 3-4 months out, like, back from now.
Okay.
He was, like, teasing this song, and I was like,
wow.
That's good. I mean, that's kind of, like, what he does. He just, like, teases a song for years,
well,
and then
that's what
out.
He did with this album, especially with all of the visualizers
mm-hmm.
and all of, like, the loops and stuff. He just would release whatever section of the song fit into however long the loop was on mm-hmm. Twitter. And that was just like, you were like, oh, okay, yeah,
yeah.
Oh, cool,
cool,
yeah.
Where's the rest of the song?
Where's
give
the
it
rest
to me?
Of it? I have a lyric written down from this song. You know, it's harder to find in these times, but I got nothing but love on my mind. I feel like that's something that a lot of younger artists are talking about as they're coming out with music, is that real love is hard to find nowadays because like everybody's focused on different things.
Yeah.
And I liked that was in there.
Yeah. That is a very important topic to touch on, especially like in the gay community. There is a very big focus on just hookups.
Yeah.
And not like finding somebody. And at the end of the day, that's not what everybody wants. Sometimes you just want someone. My next favorite song on this album is Scoop.
I agree.
I love that we have the exact same favorite tracks so far. Scoop was the song I was most hyped for pre-tracklist being released. He gave a snippet of this, it feels like 700 years ago, but like he was just like vibing in his room, and it was the verse where he's like really going hard. He's like, I ain't talking guns when I ask where your dick at.
Oh,
yeah. And I was like, give it. We need it now. And then the track list was released, and it said featuring Doja Cat, and I literally like almost jumped off a building. I was so excited. Like I was levitating way too hard. So yeah, I was really hyped for the song. This song has a instrumentation that is very similar to a Post Malone song. I it's not like super important, but it has an instrumentation that's similar to Spoil My Night by Post Malone, which I just think is interesting. It's probably like an interpolation, that's not how you say it. It just sounds like that song a little bit, but that has nothing to do with anything.
I have written down that I love the beat and like the back track to this song. It's really catchy, and it makes me like unconsciously bop my head back and forth.
Yeah,
like it is so hard to stay so still when listening to this song.
Yeah, I scream the living crap out of the song when I'm driving. It's just a very good like song, and then when you're driving in your car and you have your bass up all the way, and
yeah,
those 808s
absolutely.
Are just screaming at you. Ooh, I want to hear this at a club. Like I want to go to the clubs, and I want Scoop to be screaming at me.
Jared already knows this about how I feel about the song, but when Doja comes in with "Tomorrow is my day off," I literally stop everything, and I'm like, "Yes, Queen Doja. Tell me." She goes, "Tomorrow's my day off. All them rehearsals got me tight. Look at the payoff." And I just like, that makes me so hype. She's such a girl boss yeah. right there.
She's I like, can't. I'm rich now.
Literally.
My favorite part on Doja's verse, she gets into like this little singy part, layers like 4 different vocal parts, and she's like, "Let him apologize and
yes,
eat it in a belly."
I love that part.
It's just like, she's so, her I've loved watching Doja Cat grow as an artist, and I love the fact that they both made a song together. Because as we said earlier, like, their careers are kind of parallels in weird ways. It's just so fun to see them both, like, cocky on a song together.
Yeah.
Like, unapologetic and being like, yeah. Like, to quote Doja Cat from her Instagram Live, I'm gonna fuck you.
Oh my
like,
God.
That's just the vibe they're giving on the whole album, on the whole track. I wish Doja and Lil Nas X interacted a little bit more on the track.
Yeah.
I would have loved, like, on the final chorus, I mean, the chorus is literally just scoop, scoop, skirt. And Doja goes like, okay, like in there. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to hear like a scoop, like just like something else. I wanted this a little more like chit chat.
I agree with that. And then same thing for Megan's feature. I wish that they interacted a little bit more.
Yeah. And we'll get into like the features and our thoughts on the features as a whole a little bit later.
Yeah.
But I would agree. I wrote down basically the whole song minus Doja's verse, I feel like had been released just through snippets. So when I listened to it, I was like, okay, at first. And I was like, maybe it could be a little overhyped, but I'm absolutely obsessed with the song to the point where I don't care because it's so good. It has like that, it's been released already, but who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, it's still good. I'm still going to bop my head. And I don't know, I just really like hearing Lil Nas X just be gay and just, like, not even care. Like, not even give a second thought about it.
Mm-hmm. I have written down for this song the lyric, I don't want to lie, I really only need you for the night. And then underneath it, I have written hookup culture, which is something that's, like, really popular right now.
Yeah.
It's, like, just hooking up, no attachment, like, being with a ton of people and, like, I love it when he's like, cut the chit chat, or like, this is not like, nope, this is not what I'm here for.
It's like, this is strictly business.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen. That's that. I really like that too.
And that's like, it's a theme behind literally the entire song. It's just like, this is, you and I both know that this is all this is going to be.
You're just a scoop.
Yeah. Next up on my list, which I know that it's not the same as yours, because I think you have this in an honorable.
Okay.
But next up, I have Lost in the Citadel.
Nope, it's on my list of favorites.
It is.
Look at us. Okay, so Lost in the Citadel. Let's
Lost
talk about it.
Lost in the Citadel. Wait, let me get back in my chair.
Yeah.
So I really like that the start of this song is like a long monotone like note, because it's recognizable, and I hear that long note, and I'm like, time for a banger.
Let's go.
It's like the alarm, or like it's like a little, it's like a timer going off, and it's like bing, and you're like, yep, Lost in the Citadel,
Lost
it's time.
Citadel. Yeah, I don't know why I just connected it to what's that song by Billie Eilish where it's just Billy, like that's like the thought that came into my mind where it's like it's immediately recognizable. I don't remember the name of the song
excited.
Though, but you know what I mean.
I'm so out of breath. But no, I agree
with
that.
It's your friend.
Yes, it is. But no, I agree with that. It's just, I love it when a song has something very recognizable at the front where you hear it and you go, yep, I know what it's time for.
Yeah. I wrote in all caps, I love the struggle that the song portrays, where it's like, I was with this person, we were vibing, we're not a thing anymore, but they're still like a constant in my life. And they like, it's like, we still find a way to be intertwined with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the lyrics I wrote down specifically was, thought the universe sent you, like, I really thought you were mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, because every time you leave, you find a way to come back around.
Yeah.
And I felt that in, like, so many different instances, like, in my life. And I've never, like, heard it written in a song before.
Yeah.
And I love the title of the song, because it doesn't, Lost in the Citadel is never said in the song.
Yeah.
But it's the perfect way
it
to describe
is.
What the song feels
it
like.
Is.
It's like completely lost in like this big ass like room,
mm-hmm.
like no idea where you're going, and you're going through all these thoughts are like playing in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're doing. And I don't know. I just like really, really, really like the struggle he portrayed
yeah,
here.
Yeah. I think that the lyrics in this song are just so good. I have written down, my God, you're an angel. I only see you in your halo, which like, I love that he put this in there, because I feel like nobody ever talks about how when, well, maybe, but when you're in love with somebody, you romanticize them and it's hard for you to see their faults and what they've done wrong. Yeah. And I feel like that's especially present when you have an on-again, off-again person.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're off and when that person isn't around, you're like, oh, I look at all these red flags. And then they pop up and that little halo gets around their head again.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you're back. The universe, it sent you.
Like, yeah. I've definitely heard like this concept in a song before, but mm-hmm. I've never heard it spoken like that. Mm-hmm. Like the idea, I only see you in your halo. I hate to be like, oh, when I wrote songs, but like when I was writing songs about my past relationship, I wrote a song like with the idea of like, I wish I could hate you because I cannot come up with like an idea of like, I can't see you in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be so helpful in this situation. And I feel like this song captures that in a way I could have never written it. I think this message in the song is so important to hear, especially for like a young queer kid. It's just, I don't know. There's
and
something
I
about
think
it.
That it also, this song goes into like growing, not only as a person, but growing apart from another person. I have written down, I was hoping we could stay close, but we no longer sing the same notes. And again, I just love how he says this because everybody at one point in their lives has had a friend or an acquaintance or a partner that you just grow away from. And they're so, so, so important to you. But you just like, you're going different ways and there's nothing you can do about that. But the idea of growing apart from someone is so much more mature than what like we're finding in music these days, where it's like, you did this to me and how dare you? This is like a very calm, we're just not meant to be together.
Mm-hmm. It's a very big growth mindset.
Yes.
I'm at a loss of words. I don't know. I'm really obsessed with how the song is. And at the end of the day, this song covers such like a big adult type of topic.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds so fun.
It's got
a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
You know we love guitars here on this podcast. It's leaning into like a punk pop sound. I wish it took a little bit of a step further and really like committed to a punk pop sound.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, I love the song. There's just something about it. I feel like me as a kid in high school hearing that song would have benefited so much. And this song kind of is like a perfect place on the album sequencing wise, because we're talking about kind of like where he is now throughout the entire first half of the album. With a couple of, not really any exceptions. But then after this song, we kind of go into a very like retrospective, introspective look on his life and like where he's come from kind of a thing. And I think this is like the perfect merge because you can like look at it through like a going through the ups and downs and like kind of going into like those downs kind of now, which is very interesting. I absolutely adore the song.
Yeah, it's really good.
I could talk about it for years.
And not to bring up like all the visualizers again, just because like when we had our little listening party, that's what we did was we went onto YouTube and we watched all the little videos. Mm-hmm. But for Lost in the Citadel, I don't want to go too deep into it, but I just really liked, we've been talking about growing apart and just like, it's rough to be away from that person, but you guys are both just like living your lives. And I really like that our little CGI Montero goes up to the other version of himself and he just like watches. And I feel like that's so relatable if you've ever grown apart from a person and you still care about them because you want to know what's going on in their life, but you also know that you need to let them exist.
Yeah.
Instead of like trying to barge in.
The
visualizers. I just think that's so important.
Yeah, the visualizers, they bring a nice little touch to every song.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't watched the visualizers, you definitely should.
You should,
They're little like 1 minute loops. You can watch it once and then look away from the TV.
Yeah.
They're definitely interesting. They're made for a reason. They're good. The next song that I have written down in my favorites is Void.
Big shocker.
Me too. This song comes after Sun Goes Down, which was a promotional single for the album. I like Sun Goes Down a lot. I think Void is better.
I agree with that.
So before I talk about my thoughts on the song. I was reading the Genius lyrics as always, and there's some annotations written on it, but they're unofficial, like they're fan ideas.
Okay.
But I really like, there is potential references to Love, Simon throughout the song, which I just think is cool. I mean, in the chorus, he's singing to Blue, which is like the main like love interest in Love, Simon.
Okay.
I think that's just interesting. It goes similar to Montero, Call Me By Your Name, where it's just a reference to queer cinema. I just like that part specifically. But this song is very much him just kind of speaking to his younger self.
Yeah.
And like getting back into that mindset of where he was. He sings a lot about being like feeling like he's kind of lost, like he's not mm-hmm. belonging. The chorus, he's saying, I'm going to run away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this song really hit me specifically because in high school, I was very like confused about my sexuality and I moved 500 miles away from home.
Yeah.
And I took that. It took me moving 500 miles away from home to like really figure out my stuff and like understand who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I feel like he's touching on topics that I've needed to hear for so long that I'm now hearing after I've kind of grown and become the person I am.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, if the songs don't vibe with the main public, these songs are going to save a little queer kid in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed with it.
I have written down that, like, this song is really easy to just, like, passively listen to. It's not loud. It's not in your face.
Yeah.
It just kind of, like, cradles you in a way.
It's like a lullaby.
Yeah.
Like, in, like, the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a, like, this song is going to make you fall asleep.
But yeah,
it's just, like,
no.
There's something so comforting about the song, even mm-hmm. though he's, like, I'm in the unknown.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And he's serving vocals that I never imagined that we would get from Lil Nas X.
We talked about this, or you mentioned this to like our group of friends, and you were like, I didn't realize that we would be getting so many vocals in this album.
I mean, like, because Call Me By Your Name has vocals mm-hmm. and like Industry Baby, like the singles have vocals. Mm-hmm. Like they're there. I wasn't expecting the range. He's up in like the stratosphere in this chorus.
And I also wasn't expecting him to have like full songs that are like only vocals instead of like rap or like the mixture and stuff like that. And I just, he served. I don't know.
He's been saying I'm a pop star mm-hmm. for a while. And I've always associated him with rap just from his like coming to be famous with Old Town Road and Panini and Holiday and mm-hmm. Rodeo and like every other song before and any other song before like this album where he's like really singing other than like some of the ones we've talked about like Lost in the Citadel, the vocals he was giving were very like in talking range.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But this is the first time like I really feel like we're exploring his mm-hmm. range. We're like diving deep and I'm like, no, he's a singer. It took this song for me to realize I need to stop discounting the fact that he can sing.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's a singer.
When in this song specifically, and I don't know if it's the bridge. I can't visualize it right now. But when he starts belting, I find it hard to get, way too hard to live. Tell me what you know now before I go. It like hits you right in the middle of the chest. And it's like, oh, like you are speaking.
Yeah.
Like, please keep doing that. And I don't know, I just, since I have written down like that, this song is really easy to listen to passively. And I think that because of that, I know for me specifically, I didn't really listen to the lyrics at first because I was just kind of like, oh, like this is a vibe. Like we're calming down a little bit. But you look at the lyrics and it's like, wow, like he's grown so much.
Yeah. I could talk for years about this song. And we talked about this similar kind of effect last week with Rina Sawayama, where like her music is very much like it makes a point, but you don't necessarily really need to like
mm-hmm.
pay attention to that point to like the song.
But it's still there.
And it's still there. And I really feel that way about this song specifically.
It's just really important.
I'm just going to read some random lyrics, but it's just like, I've been feeling small as the salt in the sea. It's so much to do in so little time. I feel like I fell a little bit behind.
Yes, I have that specific string of lyrics written down.
And it's like, the second verse goes into, oh, here, I didn't write this down. The second verse, because again, I didn't listen to this album the first time like I normally do, because we listened to it together as a group. But I finally sat down today and like actually looked at the lyrics when writing my notes for the podcast today. And I read the verse, I read the second verse, and it all clicked. This part in the second verse, he goes, "See, I'm getting tired of the way I've been living. I'd rather die than to live with these feelings. Stuck in this world where there's so much to prove. Every win gives you more room to lose. He's trapped in a lonely life, looking for love where he's denied." Mm-hmm. And I sat down at my computer and I was like, he just said something that Jared in junior year of high school was thinking, was never able to articulate it correctly. And I know I said it like 10 minutes ago, but like this song really, it really captures that, like figuring yourself out as a person in the LGBTQ plus community, where it's like, it's terrifying and you feel so alone in that moment. And luckily people are able to get out of that situation and be able to find themselves and be able to be them true selves. Again, I've never really seen a song that captures that feeling the way that this one did, other than maybe like Heaven by Troye Sivan. That one, tangent, that song screwed me up when I first heard it. I could like, I listened to it once
and
I stopped.
And I'm not even like, I'm not even queer.
Yeah.
That song just hits so hard.
I don't know. Void is so good.
It's really good.
You
should listen to it. If you listen to any song from this album, listen to either Am I Dreaming or Void, in my opinion. Speaking of Am I Dreaming, I know we already touched on it, but that is the last song on both of our favorites lists. And this is my song that I could talk about for so long. Miley Cyrus, and I'll get into this more when we talk about the features. This song could have been all hers, and I would have listened to it. This song could have been all Lil Nas X's. I would have listened to it. It just holds me and just gives me a little hug. And it's like, here you go. Here's this little song. Yeah. And when Miley comes in, every single time I get goosebumps.
Yeah.
Without fail.
I mean, jaw-dropping. I mean, when I first heard this song, I won't lie, I was disappointed. Only because I was really hyping up the idea that Lil Nas X and Miley Cyrus were going to be screaming at me with the like a rock song. Like I was really, really hyping that up in my head. But after a few listens to the song where I like actually was able to sit down and to appreciate it, like it's all I listen to.
Yeah, it's just so good.
We've talked about it quite a bit already, so I don't want to like linger on it too much.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about it when we talk about the features, but it's a good one. It's definitely one that needs to be checked out.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like, oh, well, here's our least favorite tracks. Because honestly, like in my professional opinion, there's no skip on this album minus the interlude and that. Like
I don't even skip
the Art of Realization. And I don't even skip it.
And I didn't even talk about that.
Oh my God. The Art of Realization is like a 23-second little like audio clip that plays
and
before
Scoop. And
it's
just him talking.
And it's just like a little like, it's like a voice memo.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the studio between them.
I know that it's just a 23-second clip and it's just him talking, but I don't skip it. I don't skip it. And there's one part of it where he's like, who am I doing this for? And then he goes, is it for me? And I just really love that. And he's like, am I happy? Like, what am I doing? And he talks about being kind of directionless and just like going places without really knowing where he's going. Anyways, that's all I'll say about it. I just like, is it for me? I say it very loudly every time that little song comes on.
As I said before, I don't think there's any like skips on this album. There's a few tracks that necessarily don't do it for me, but they're not
bad songs.
They're
just like a little bit weaker compared to everything else.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even say like weaker. It's just they didn't connect with me in a way that like made me want to scream at the top of my lungs.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like the songs. I only have two written down here.
I only have one.
So, like, oops, all bangers. But I wrote down Don't Want It. Don't Want It is, like, a good song. It's just not something I, like, would purposely go out of my way to, like, go back to. If it came up on Shuffle in my major, like, big playlist with every song I listen to ever, I'm not going to skip it. If it came up in a listening experience of the whole album, I'm not going to skip it because it's a good song. I like specifically in the song, there's, like, clips from the news where it's like Lil Nas X number one, Call Me By Your Name.
I love it when artists put those into their songs.
Yeah. And like, he talks about important stuff on it. I mean, he talks about like, I'm not the same as I was in the past, because he's gone through controversies with things he said like as a kid on his Stan Twitter. And he was like, that's not me. Like, people who know me know that I'm not the old me. And I think we've seen that throughout the past year or two, or since we've seen Lil Nas X in the spotlight. It's a good song. It's got a guitar. I don't know why it's not a song that like really hits me.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it's just like, I think maybe just where it's placed in the album just doesn't resonate with me. But I like it. It's just not like my go-to.
I just like the confidence in him saying, tell the Reaper he don't want it. I know everything's gonna be all right. Like, okay, go off.
Yeah.
And then I also like from this song, am I not proof that if you want it, you can have literally anything? Like, look at me, look at where I came from. Like, am I not direct proof of that? And I just think that that's kind of cool.
My other track, which I believe is yours as well.
It is.
Is Life After Salem. My boyfriend's gonna kill me because he loves this song to death. For me specifically, I just don't see it on the album. I see it as like, I talked about this with him specifically before the podcast. I was like, I like the song, but in a sense where I can see it like as the theme song, or like the opening theme to a dramatic movie. Like, it gives me James Bond opening, like No Time to Die.
And I think that's the instrumentation in it.
There's just like, it's got this like very grand epic production. It just,
to me, this song doesn't have enough like contrast. It's not going anywhere for me. And I think I kind of get like stuck in it. I think, you know, the verses are really soft, really quiet, and then he just starts screaming, which again, I love the drama of it. Like, it's a song that for me specifically, I would have to be in the right mood to listen to it, or to want to listen to it.
Yeah. And like, this song is a beautiful example of the fact that Lil Nas X has range in his vocals, and we need to stop discounting the fact that he can sing. But at the end of the day, this song structurally just kind of throws me back to his EP 7. It just feels like it was like a song he wrote earlier on. I can't like describe the structure of the song. And specifically the chorus, the melody is like, take what you want, bah, bah. And it gives me very similar vibes to one of the songs on 7. I can't remember it exactly, but it's really throwing me back to that EP. Again, not a bad thing necessarily, not a bad song. It's just, if I were in charge of making the track list, this track list would be 14 songs and Life After Salem wouldn't be here.
Hot take.
Which is a hot take, I know. It just doesn't feel like it belongs on the album, but I'm not going to go out of my way to skip it because I still enjoy it. That's how I feel about Life After Salem. Do you have anything else you want to add to that?
No, I agree. I don't have strong feelings toward it.
Just any other way.
It's not that I like hate the song, but I don't have strong positive feelings toward it. I think that his voice sounds amazing. I just don't like the song that much. Hot take.
Hot take.
Anyways. All right. So next up, we're just going to touch really, really quickly on some honorable mentions before we start talking about the features on this album. And there's two that we want to talk about. I'm going to go ahead and start with Tales of Dominica. I really like this song.
It's really good.
I know I've been saying that about like all of them, but I really like this song. It's really sad, and it's, I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I wrote down, this is the prequel to Lil Nas X. This is before, I mean, we're getting like a retrospective look at pre-Old Town Road and his struggle of wanting to be a musician so bad and like trying so hard to make his dream a reality. This song starts off lyrically saying, woke up on the floor, this plastic bed doesn't fill up anymore.
Yeah.
Such a good way to talk about that struggle. I mean,
it's really concise,
it's very to the point. Just the fact that he was sleeping on an air mattress, and I think anybody who slept on an air mattress knows they don't stay blown up.
Yeah.
And like the fact that no, that was
you wake
main
up and you've like dipped into the middle.
Yeah, it's like, oh, hello, hardwood floor. But it's just the way that this song starts off with that really gets you into the setting. Sonically, it's got a little bit of like a more like, I don't want to say Old Town Road, but like country-esque type beats. Like you could like whistle to it, kind of like a Western kind of sound, which really, again, throws me into like, that's the prequel. This is like where we started. I like where it is sequencing wise in the album, because it gets like, it's one of the first songs that really like talks retrospectively about what he's gone through.
Yeah, I think the combination of Tales of Dominica, Sun Goes Down, and Void, they go really, really well together. And I think that they all play off of each other. And then their contrast with Don't Want It, which is like, look at how far I've come, but like in a more grandiose, like confident way. I think that they play off each other really well.
The other song I wanted to talk on is the second song on the album. It's Dead Right Now. This song, when it first came on, when we were listening to it, I was really confused as to why it was following Montero. And then after a few listens to the album, it really clicked and I understood the sequencing of the album. This song is three verses describing different relationships with just people in his life in general, then his dad, then his mom. I just wanted to touch on it real quick because I really thought it was interesting. The first verse is really, it starts with like, breaker, breaker, 911, somebody come get this bitch. And it's talking about like, in the lyrics, it's like, can I borrow like a couple $1,000 to fix my car? It's like all these people are coming up to him and be like, hey, can you help me with this real quick? You're big now. And he's like, it goes into the chorus and he's like,
I'll treat you like you did right now.
Yeah, I forgot how to speak. It's just, he's like, you know, I never did you wrong. I'm right here on the phone, but like, take it somewhere else. Like, I can't, like, the way you are approaching me is bad and I just have to treat it like you're not here.
And I really like this message. Lots of artists put it in their songs and lots of celebrities talk about it openly, that once you get famous, all of these weird like acquaintances and family members start coming out of the woodwork and they're like, oh. And I love the, when you get this rich and famous, everybody comes up to you singing Hallelujah, how'd you do it? Been on my mind, you've been running through it. And I just like, he takes so many of these messages that I see so often, he just says them in a way that I've never heard before, and I'm like, I don't know, he's just really good.
I wrote down those lyrics too, and it comes right after he's talking about how his dad was like, you've got a one in a million shot, and he's like, but I am that one.
Yeah,
like I'm going to be that one. And then he proved it, and it was like once he got that fame, it like the story switched, which I really liked in the second verse. And then in the third verse, he talks about his relationship with his mom. They don't really have a relationship. She's has a problem with addiction, and in the lyrics, at the end, it's like, he's not helping me, God won't forgive him, like as a quote from his mom.
Yeah,
because it's like he feels stuck in that situation, and it's like, what can he do? And he's got all this money and this fame and this power, but he can't use it. And I think that struggle is very interesting, and the fact that he gets from like this like rebirth moment from the first track on Montero and then gets super vulnerable out the gate. Sonically, Montero to Dead Right Now makes no sense, but message wise it does. I love how the song sounds. I love the message behind it. It took a couple of listens to understand the sequencing, but holy crap, is this a good song.
It's a really good song.
It's also one of the longest songs on the album, and I appreciate that. It's good. I still like, I'm like at a loss of words for the amount of like meaning and like how he has somehow said things throughout this entire album that I have never been able to articulate. In such a, like, how did you not come up with that? Like, such a simple way. In such a, like, simple, tangible way. Like, I'm so mind-blown by it. I can't get over it. It's so good.
I agree.
The next little segment before we give our final thoughts, I just wanted to touch a little bit on the use of features. I think features can make or break an album, and I've got some opinions, so I thought we could talk about it.
I just want to say collectively, I think that he did a really good job of picking which songs were going to feature which artist. I think that each song that has a feature on it fits that person's type of music.
It's done with a lot of purpose. There's a lot of thought behind it. And I like how I'm saying that as I'm going to rip into the first feature. But the first song with a feature is Industry Baby, and it's featuring Jack Harlow.
Not you bagging on Jack Harlow.
Listen, it is in no way bad. Like, it literally is, like, the verse is not bad, but for some reason to me, I feel like I could have hyped up any other artist on that feature, and I know that's a hot take. I'm listening to the album, and when it goes from Lil Nas X singing the chorus to Jack Harlow, I feel like I'm listening to a different song all of a sudden. Like, I think the issue with it is when I first heard the feature get announced, I was like, what? And then they don't interact at all in the track. And I was just like, what is going on? I don't hate Jack Harlow's verse. I don't hate Jack Harlow. I when I listened to it the first time, I didn't understand it. That being said, I like the song, obviously. I don't want people coming for me. I also think it's really funny that he's the only straight white man on this album, period.
I think that he deserves some props for that, though.
Yeah. And I think it's like with the
Not
industry.
saying, sorry, going back, not saying that like it takes balls or takes masculinity to be on a gay man's album,
Yeah.
but I think that, and I think we were talking about how Jack Harlow wasn't Nas's first choice to feature on this
I think it
song.
was supposed to be Nicki
I think
Minaj.
it was too because he mentions her.
Lil Nas X did a Q&A on Twitter and was like, I sent it to Nicki. I don't know. This is not I hate Jack Harlow hours. Like, don't worry. Like, I liked the verse. It took a second for me to like really connect it. And I wish they would have like interacted a little bit. But I like their chemistry out of the song. I like the fact that Jack Harlow was like, I would have been naked in the shower scene in the music video. They seem to have a really good connection on stage when they're performing together. When I listen to it without it, I just like feel like I'm listening to two separate songs for some reason. That might be a very hot take.
That is a very hot take.
Yeah.
I don't have any words on it.
Cool.
I liked the feature. I think that Jack Harlow, Doja, and Megan all had very like standard features in this album. The next feature on the album is Scoop featuring Doja Cat. And we've kind of already expressed our feelings towards this feature. I love it. She's so fun. I love this feature from her. I think that her verse is really good. I do wish that they interacted more. I wish that it was less of a standard feature.
I just wish it was longer. Like, looking at features Doja's done in the past, she really eats the song. Like, I'm specifically thinking Bebe Rexha's Baby I'm Jealous. Doja Cat eats up that song and like has a minute long verse. And she raps and then she starts singing. And I was like, I was expecting just like a little bit more from Doja. But at the same time, when I first heard this verse, I felt a little disappointed. And I wrote down in my notes, it has a Motive by Ariana Grande featuring Doja Cat effect, where at first I was like, I'm not really excited by this verse, but now every time I'm in the car, I'm screaming the verse.
I love her verse and motive.
Doja Cat is so good. And I keep saying that. But yeah, at first I was just like, I wanted a little bit more, and I still do want a little bit more, but I'm not complaining about it anymore. And that's kind of my thoughts on the Doja Cat feature. The next feature is on One of Me. It is featuring Elton John. We haven't really talked too much about this
We
song.
haven't.
We
And
didn't even touch it,
I just
actually.
want to say off the bat, I was a little sad when I first heard this song. We were doing our little listening party in the living room of Joe's apartment. And we were waiting for Elton John's verse to come on and for him to be like crocodile rocker, like something like fun. And we came to figure out by the end of the song that he was just playing piano. And I was like, absolutely not. Why? Like, I was re very upset about it. But now when I hear, I don't know, I really like One of Me. Maybe it's just how much I like the song where I'm like, it's okay. Like Elton just, plays a little ditty in the background. I don't know.
One of Me is a very good song. I like that it's very much just like the lyrical content is like these are negative things that have been said to me. These are like conflicting thoughts that have been said to me. This is all going through my head.
Well, and I have written down, I think we talked about it in the Sawayama episode. We talked about stan culture. This is not stan culture. This is fan culture, is what I have written down. Because it's you know, I will only be a fan of you if you're doing something that pleases me.
We're talking about the future, but I need to talk about this lyric real quick. There's a lyric in the song where he's like, even if your album's okay, it's flopping regardless.
Yes.
And I was like, it was giving me very much like this song. This song summarized is L plus Ratio plus Youngboy better.
Yes.
which if you aren't on Twitter, that makes no sense. But it's just like, oh, make better music. Like, mm-hmm. it's just like being negative for no reason kind of a thing. And yeah, when I first read the track list, I was so excited to hear what Elton John would do vocally with Lil Nas X. So I was, again, I hate that for the first three features, I was like, I'm kind of disappointed, but I like it. I feel like this song would be totally different without the piano behind it. And I think Elton John being featured on this track is important. I just wish it didn't give me the impression that they would be
singing
riffing
together.
Off of each other. Because I was expecting very much Sign from Above, Lady Gaga featuring Elton John, not Elton John as part of the accompaniment.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just me being, or maybe that's just us being misled by the word featuring.
Yeah.
But that was just what I got.
The next feature on the album is from Dolla Sign Slime, which we also have not touched yet. And that's featuring Megan Thee Stallion. I personally think that Megan eats up every single verse that she does. I have a hot take, though.
Hot take, okay.
I think that Dolla Sign Slime, No, I'm just going to say it. Hot take. I think that the song itself doesn't match the energy that she puts into her verse.
Yeah.
I think that her verse is the best part of that song.
I agree. I wrote down when I was like giving my own analysis of this, this is probably the strongest feature verse wise.
Mm-hmm.
She bodies the song.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only feature where I'm really sitting there and it's like, this is the feature, the person who's featured song. This isn't Lil Nas X's song.
I find myself, I listen to the song and I'm sitting there waiting for Megan's verse.
Yeah. I don't hate the song. It's just her verse is very upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
It's very energetic. It's similar to her song Cry Baby, but like it's fun, so I don't really care that it's like sonically similar.
Yeah.
And like I know a lot of people critique her for having like similar flows. I don't care because it's fun. She sounds good.
She's really fun.
And she spits these fun lyrics. Like I wrote down, she goes like, I should have my own category in a porn because all these people are turned on by me. It's like she's just so funny and witty in her like delivery and like the way she says things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's every time I hear real hot girl shit coming up on an album, I know it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first feature where I didn't feel disappointed. I do wish they interacted on the track more, but I don't care. Like,
it's another one of those really, really standard features where they just have a verse and that's literally it.
I mean, she does a little ad libs in the last chorus, but again, standard.
Very standard.
It wasn't like anything like to write home about, but she killed it.
I love it. I love her verse. I just wish that the rest of the song matched the energy of her verse. Mm-hmm. That's my hot take.
Yeah.
Or that's kind of cooling down my hot take.
But I like the instrumental a lot. It's fun. Energy-wise, their verses were different.
And
that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you're probably sick and tired of hearing of this song.
But we don't care.
But we don't care. The final feature on this album is Miley Cyrus on Am I Dreaming?
She's so good. I have written down that she's the queen of rasp.
The queen of rasp. Yeah, you're right. Her vocals just take it to another planet. And their voices work so well together.
When she just screams, never forget me at the end, be right back sobbing.
Be right back sobbing.
I literally just, and I, she, I, this song takes me to another place. I have no more words.
We literally have talked this song to death, but it's a good feature. I think as a whole, feature-wise, the features all did well, but as a whole, I felt like slightly gypped as a listener on the features.
Well, and especially that last feature with Miley where they interact so much and it like feels like a collaborative body of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like It makes you want more from the other features. I feel like if Miley's feature wasn't on there, you'd be like, yeah.
We'd be complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took till the final feature to get like a duet,
mm-hmm.
which is like the main thing. I wish we had gotten a little bit more like collaborative effort and less of a, I sent X this song and then mm-hmm. they sent back Y.
All right, guys. I know we've been talking for a while, but it is time to wrap up our thoughts on Montero by Lil Nas X. Overall, like out of 10, what would you rate the album?
Okay. I'm going to kind of talk a lot. I wrote an entire paragraph to justify my rating.
I don't have anything equivalent to that.
I'm sorry.
So I'll just let you talk.
So I think just in the most recent efforts for a debut album, this is one of the most solid ones I've seen and heard in a long time. I mean, he's proven time and time again that he isn't a one-hit wonder. He's not a gimmick. Lil Nas X is no joke. Like, he's a good, actual, well-rounded artist. He's a performer. He can sing. Like, there's nothing he can not do. Like, he can't produce a bad song. That being said, I wish some of these songs were longer. This is going to sound really mean and harsh.
Hot take.
But I'm convinced he can't write a bridge. Like, it's just, I feel like a lot of these songs just end. And if there is, like, a longer song, it's just, like, singing the chorus a little bit slower, quieter, and then going back into it. And it's like, I don't necessarily know if he needs to have a bridge or like a traditional bridge. I just want another verse. I'm so in love with the way he articulates his thoughts and talks about his experience. And I just want to be immersed in it a little bit longer. And I think that is the thing that makes this album not hit as hard as I want it to hit, even though this song is top tier. I wish the features had a little bit more purpose as a whole. I don't think it's a perfect album, but it's a really, really, really good album, and I would give it an 8 out of 10. I think for a debut album, this is stellar. There's just things I wanted to be improved on that didn't necessarily hit the mark, but there is no way in hell that I would not recommend this album.
I liked that.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm giving this album like an 8.5 out of 10.
Our ratings flopped. Because you did 8 yes last week and I did 8.5 last week.
Wait, that's really funny.
That's really funny.
I'm giving this album an 8.5 out of 10. I'm obsessed with it. You guys now know that I listen to an album for a full 48 hours before we go ahead and review it on the podcast. But I've been listening to this song listening to this album on repeat since its release date.
Me too.
And we're almost a week in. There's something about it, and it takes me somewhere else. We've touched on it a lot, but the meanings behind so many of these songs are important. And I feel like so many people, young or old, no matter what their experience, are going to be moved by multiple songs on this album. I think that he gives an insane amount of variety, and he gives so many examples of versatility and that he's not a one-track pony. Mm-hmm. He references a lot that Old Town Road was like so far in the past and that he's completely different now, and that people stay focused on it and he's like a completely different artist and that he's grown. I love, love, love the theme of growth in this album. And I came from here. Look at where I am now. I've changed for the better.
Yeah. I forgot to say this earlier, but this album is so culturally significant and so important and so necessary to be here in 2021. I wouldn't replace it with anything else. I expected nothing less from him. And the only reason I want more is just because I know he's going to take us to the next level when his next project comes out.
Yeah.
He is a superstar in the making. I'm obsessed with him. I'm in love with him. I just can't wait to see where he goes from here.
Yeah, same.
And to spark such importance and such great conversation.
Mm-hmm.
From just his debut, like I still cannot get over the fact that Montero is this man's debut album. Like, what a phenomenal start to a long, successful career.
I also just want to say that if this album does not win Album of the Year, I'm going to sue the Grammys.
Knocking on the door.
Knocking on their door.
Mrs. Grammy.
Banging.
Mrs. Grammy.
Mrs. Grammy, you're not being a girl boss right now, and I just really need you to take a step back and, like, reflect. Anyways.
Yeah. There's a reason this was one of my most anticipated albums of the year, and it really hit right
on
the nose.
I didn't think that I would like it as much as I do. I thought that I would be pleased, and I thought that I would just be like, okay with the album. And I would be like, oh yeah, like I'd recommend it. Definitely. Because I'm a recent fan of Lil Nas X. I have not been there since the beginning. I have not been there since Old Town Road. Mm-hmm. Like I'm here for it. I support. And I'm in love with this album. I cannot say enough good things about it.
So that is our overall thoughts, opinions, and stories about Montero by Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
But we would love to hear what you guys at home are thinking about this album. Did it hit for you as much as it hit for us?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know on all of our social medias. We are at Sick Beats with JS.
Not SJ.
Not SJ. We don't know what we're going to be listening to next week. We have a bunch of suggestions from you from the past. But if you have an album you really want us to listen to, let us know.
Yeah. Please let us know. It's hard to pick, and I will be picking the album for this week. So if you want to go back, listen to our first episode to figure out what kind of music I'm into so that hopefully I will pick your album. Do it. Give us another listen.
Yeah.
Anyways. Moving forward to everybody's favorite portion of the podcast where we update our Sick Beats charts.
Woo, Sick Beat charts. I'm super excited about this week's Sick Beat charts. Before we go into our top three, I just wanted to say we are going to be publishing a third playlist on Spotify that is just an overall every song that's been on Sick Beat charts ever.
Yeah.
So... because I know my charts have changed a lot again this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be kind of fun just to look back and see, like, this is a huge collection of songs that we all, like, wanted to sit down and talk about.
Yeah.
So that might be changing on the links, so keep an eye out for that. But, yeah, I'm super excited about that.
So going into our top three for the week, Jared, what's your number three?
I know you're probably tired of hearing me talk about Montero by Lil Nas X, but sorry, my entire top three is all Montero by Lil Nas X. My third song on my charts is Void by Lil Nas X from Montero. I just changed this song to be number three. I actually just put this one on my chart right before we started the segment because talking about this song really kind of put into perspective how much I literally cannot, like, breathe without this song. It's really resonated in a way that I didn't really think about it until we actually sat down here and recorded the podcast, but it really touches on those, like, thoughts and fears of being young and newly queer, and it's just so important, and I just want it to have recognition, and I just want people to listen to it. It's one of the go-tos on that album for me, so I definitely wanted to put it on my chart.
My number three is also a song from Montero, and I was really debating whether to put this song as my number one because you guys know the effect that this song has on me, but my number three this week is Am I Dreaming, featuring Miley Cyrus. I can't say any more words about this. You know how I feel. That's all.
To piggyback off of that, my number two song this week on my charts is also Am I Dreaming by Lil Nas X.
Interesting.
Featuring Miley Cyrus.
I've never heard of that song before. Is it good?
Just wait until you hear about this song. Also, this is the first time we've ever had a duplicate on our charts, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh my gosh, Montero, you did it.
Montero, you did it. Bringing families together since September 17th, 2021.
We're family? Hot take.
Yes, my number two is Am I Dreaming? We've talked the song to death, so I'm not going to talk about it too much longer, but it's something so good. I'm considering doing a cover of it on my YouTube channel. Like, I'm obsessed to death to this song.
Featuring Sophia Redis?
Stay tuned next week when we produce our own cover on a podcast.
Breaking up Montero a little bit. Just a little bit. On my chart this week, I have Skate by Silk Sonic.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I did not give this song the time of day when it came out. Both me and Jared's boyfriends were obsessed with this song right at release. And I don't know. I must have just been bothered by the hype and I didn't listen to it. But it came on in my shuffle when I was headed back to Lincoln from Omaha last weekend. And I actually introduced it to my mom for the first time, and she's obsessed with it.
As she should.
She was like, okay, wait a second. I love this song. And I think that that just made me more excited to listen to it. And then I started listening to it more, and I was like, yes, this song rules my life and everything that I do. Like, give me 70s, give me roller skates. Yeah. I don't know. Anyways.
I also did not give that song the time of day when it came out. I think, like, three other things I was really interested in came out at the same day, and I just overlooked it. That song is really good. I need to, like, go back and, like, watch the music video and, like, actually, like, listen to it in depth. But every time I hear it, it just is filled with serotonin. Just the little skate.
Yeah. Like, it's wonderful.
Every little part about that song is really good. Yeah. That's a good pick. My number one song, to bring it back to Lil Nas X Hours Only, is Lost in the Citadel by Lil Nas X.
That's a good number one.
It's just, I had a hard time making my charts this week because half of my charts is Montero by Lil Nas X. And I debated flipping That's What I Want and Lost in the Citadel, which I think That's What I Want is like number eight on my chart. It's like low on the chart. But Lost in the Citadel just does something different for me. And I think it's, again, it's just talking about like a struggle that I've had a hard time articulating in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fact that I've like, I hear it articulated in such a simple, like easy way to like, like such an easy, tangible way. Like, I'm just obsessed with it. And it's one of the first ones I touch when I go back onto this album and I just like want to listen to a song.
It's so good. And again, every single time that song hits my ears, I just think of the visualizer because it's so good. Really, you guys, a very important part of this album are the music videos and the visualizers, which if Sophia's saying that to you, that means that it really is important because I don't like music videos at all.
Yeah.
But they really, really help you visualize the songs, and it gives them so much more meaning. Please go watch them. They're all on YouTube.
I hope next week I won't only scream Montero at you. But I really don't know. This album kind of has like a death grip on me.
Album of the year death grip.
Yeah, I'm not ready to put this one aside. Like, it's, I'm excited to do another album next week, but I'm like sad that I won't only be able to listen to Montero.
Top three
next
are
week.
Still gonna be Montero.
Yeah.
My number one is That's What I Want from Montero. I just love the energy in this song, and I love it when people just like demand what they want and they're like unapologetically themselves. Nas is just a girl boss in this song. Like, I don't know, he's just like, I'm looking for love, can somebody give that to me? I just would like some of that, please. It's just so good. And him again, I'm going to reference this music video because I'm so like, this is the first time music videos have ever like had an impact on me. But him in that wedding dress, just like screaming with mascara running down his face. I'm obsessed with it. And I just, he is screaming this song to me while crying in a wedding dress. I don't know. And sometimes I just need to be screamed at. And also screaming the chorus to this song,
it is a different level of serotonin, and you and your best friends need to get in your car, even if
just
it's a
crappy car. Just have that little white girl moment.
Just
please
scream it.
Just allow yourself to do that.
It is everything you will need and more in life. Get in your car, drive as fast as you can, legally, of course.
Yeah, please don't like die or
maybe
get
like
pulled
five
over.
Or ten over. Don't get pulled over though.
This episode is sponsored by getting pulled over by the cops.
But yeah, this song, It's a good one. Yeah, that's a good top one. Again, I almost put it on my 1-2. We
yeah,
almost had very
just,
similar charts.
Oh my gosh. I love that you and I felt exactly the same way about this album.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh my gosh, you guys, thank you for listening to us talk about Montero by Lil Nas X for so long.
Thank you
for sticking with us.
Thank you so much. And we want to know what songs really grabbed your attention this week, whether or not it was Montero. Let us know what song cannot escape your radar this week.
Yes.
Let us know on our Twitter, on our Instagram, on Facebook.
We do. We have a Facebook now, you guys.
We do have a Facebook. Every social media platform we are on, our at is SickBeats with JS.
Not SJ.
So you will be able to see what we are listening to, what we're going to be talking about next week. We will announce that on Wednesday. You'll get to see our full 10 song charts, as well as be able to listen to them on Spotify, as well as a full playlist of every chart ever. So with that being said, we had a great time talking Montero with you, and we're excited to talk about whatever album we talk about next week with you. To make sure you don't miss an episode of Sick Beats with Jared and Sophia, make sure you follow us on your podcasting platform or subscribe to us on YouTube. Again, our social media is at Sick Beats with JS.
Not SJ.
Where we will be announcing literally everything Sick Beats. Come talk to us. Let us know your thoughts on everything and anything. Literally everything.
And suggest albums for me, because I'm not very good at making decisions and it's my turn to choose the album. So help me out.
True. You got this. I believe in you. I think you're going to come up with a great one. And I'm super excited. Thank you so much for listening to us ramble about Montero by Lil Nas X for 3 years and 24 days.
Yes.
We are excited to talk to you next week. But until then, that's all we've got.
Yeah.
It's time to wrap it up. Go home. Go to bed.
Go to bed.
Read a book.
Take a shower.
Listen to Montero again.
And again.
And again.
And again.
And again. Do your homework. Then go back
while listening to Montero.
Thank you so much for watching. Have a good night or day or afternoon.
I love time.
Time. Time is a tool you can see all.
No. We need to end.